Shalom, dear brothers and sisters. We are grateful for yet another day, and I thank you all for your encouragement. We praise the Lord for all that He gives us. All the glory is unto His name and to Him alone. All our crowns will belong upon His head, for we have one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord who has given us this blessing, and He has given us His fresh air to breathe the oxygen of His Word. We can breathe in the air of life through His Word, because in this world, all that we are breathing is the prince of the power of the air, which is giving us heaviness and all the things that weigh us down. And we know that our flesh is against the spirit and does not want to breathe in the air of life, nor does it want any of the oxygen that comes from the word. But the flesh is only satisfied with the prince of the power of the air, which breathes in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. For its very nature is a child of wrath and disobedience. But blessed be the God who is rich in mercy, who loved us while we were dead in our sins. And every day His mercy is being renewed for us as we continue in His great love. As long as we continue in faith and in love, we will abide in His word, and He will not forsake us, because this great love has given us a royal seed, and this royal seed will obtain a royal kingdom. Without this seed, we are still dead in our sins, and we would not be able to obtain anything, for flesh and blood can never obtain the kingdom of God. But because of this blessed seed, we are born again of royalty, and we are seated together in heavenly places where Christ has quickened us, and we are called kings and priests unto the Most High God. But it's so hard for this flesh to comprehend these things, to believe these things. This flesh is filled with doubt and fears. And the Lord is doing a perfect work in us. The work that He started, He is perfecting His love in our hearts. For that which is in us is greater than what's coming against us. And it comes against us first by our own flesh. But in this land, the Lord has sown a great seed that can never be taken away. It can never perish. It's this new creature that is in us being formed as we are being born again. As Paul said, he's travailing in birth again until Christ be formed in you. This seed in us will certainly break through all the barriers, through all the darkness. It will rise. It will continue to develop and to advance in the stature of Christ. And we will not have any spiritual miscarriage, for this seed of love is predestinated to reach its eternal destiny. So let us enjoy our new birth in Christ and enjoy the maturity that comes in our royal seed. Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, has overcome the world, and He told us to be of good cheer. Don't walk in this journey with your heads down, looking sad and being negative and complaining. But look unto Him who's finishing our faith. He will fill all that we lack. And whatever vitamins that our seed is lacking in development and maturity, let us ask for wisdom and the Lord will give us. Our Lord will give us the increase that we need. For all that our Lord is concerned about, He has one concern. It's to attend onto His garden, for He has planted us. We are in the garden of Eden because the Lord is planting us. He's planting a garden of delight, an eternal garden. And we are seated in heavenly places. We are planted in this garden, and He is taking care of this seed, watering this seed, bringing light and His oxygen to this seed for it to grow. And He will surely harvest this seed in due time. Christ Jesus, our Lord and our God, is now playing a very crucial and important role, mediating for us, and He's playing a role of an elder brother, our priest who is covering us with His garment of love and blotting out all the handwriting that was formed against us, which He set aside, nailing it to His cross. And what a cross it was that He carried. He was given a crown of thorns and was stripped from His garments to be mocked at. Look at what Matthew tells us in chapter 27 from verse 28 to 31. He says, "They stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had twisted together a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head. And they put a reed in His right hand. And they bowed their knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon Him and took the reed and smote Him on the head. And after they had mocked Him, they took off the robe from Him and put again His raiment and led Him away to crucify Him." Oh my, let us just meditate on that for a little. Christ Jesus, who was called the second man, not an earthly man, not earthly like the first Adam, but as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 47 tells us, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And the Lord from heaven did come in the likeness of men to identify with us and to humble Himself. He took on the form of a servant. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 tells us, He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And verse 8 says, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, where God also has highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every other name. And verse 10 says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Amen. This perfect seed of God, the firstborn among many brethren, demonstrated perfect love as He turned the other cheek while they were mocking Him and bowing down in mockery, telling Him, King of the Jews. They dressed Him in a scarlet robe and put on His head a crown of thorns, only to mock and to say that He will never be of royalty. But He was the royal seed. And we know that the scarlet robe that they put on Him represents royalty. This scarlet color is rich and red, and only those of royalty would put on this kind of robe. So when they put on this robe upon Jesus and mocked him and bowed their knee before him, little did they know that God highly exalted him, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Our Lord had a breakthrough when he faced all this mockery. Our Lord had a breakthrough when he was facing all their spits and all their curses. He was having a breakthrough, and he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He knew that he would break through all of it, and he would have unspeakable joy. For he faced death in the face, and he conquered death by his death. And verse 14 of Hebrews, the second chapter, says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Amen. And not only did he do this by his death, not only did he destroy the power of death by his death, but also in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 22, it says that by his death, he was able to present us holy and unblameable in his sight. Amen. What a breakthrough it was. He was able to achieve the greatest breakthrough that no science nor any man was able to do. He overcame the power of death through his death. And how much more will he do through his eternal life? It was his death which defeated death. It was his death which was able to bring us holy before him. And how much more will his eternal life do? As Paul tells us in the book of Romans, I believe, he says that if the blindness of the Jews brought in the Gentiles, how much more will their awakening bring? Yes, it was a royal breakthrough that our Lord Jesus accomplished. From death came out life. From the darkness came out light. From all weakness and all his pain and all his tears came out glory and power. From a servant came forth a royal king, the King of Kings. From not having any place to lay his head, and from receiving a crown of thorns on his head, all this was transformed into receiving a royal crown, the royal crown of glory upon his head. Indeed, it was the greatest breakthrough like no other. And we will finish our daily devotion today with this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49 to 58. It's a beautiful scripture that Paul says, "As we have been born of the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Amen. "We shall also bear the image of royalty." The image of the heavenly is an image of a royal kingdom. And in verse 50 he says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Amen. What a breakthrough that we will go through. "For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality." And verse 54 says, "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruptible, Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death shall be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our victory has been given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us be of good cheer. And verse 58 says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be always steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord, my brothers and sisters, for nothing in the Lord is in vain. Nothing that comes from faith will come back empty. Everything that we do is being done for the purpose of glory. Everything that we do in the Spirit will have a reward, surely. But God is not mocked. Everything we do, and so to the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But be of good cheer, for this corruption and these corruptible things must put on incorruption. And this is our victory that the Lord has achieved for us. His death swallowed up, was swallowed up in victory. His death brought forth the greatest victory and took away the sting of death. What a breakthrough, my brothers and sisters. Let us just meditate upon these words, and we will continue tomorrow by His grace. Amen.